Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
I am also thrilled to introduce our guest today. Somebody that Jack is scared of, for sure. I'm not scared of her because, you know,
you're scared as fuck. Don't lie.
Stop, man. I'm just trying to get. Let me do the fucking intro, man. What the fuck?
Please welcome one of my favorite guests to have on here. The brilliant and talented and hilarious and just honest as fuck, Marcella Arguello. Welcome,
back,
welcome.
Bitches. It's been here a minute. It's been a fucking minute. And here I am.
What's new with you?
Dog, depression.
Mm.
That's new. That's the new.
What'd you say?
Right,
what kind
now
of depression did you say?
Just regular depression.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, just like that quarantine. Like, I finally hit. I'm actually coming out of it, but I was like hitting a wall. That's why you guys didn't hear from me for a hot second.
Yeah.
And I was like, Marcella, please come back. Great Anna impression. And I was like, no, bitch. No. It's going to have to wait. April Fools, I'm back, bitches.
There you are. Man. That shit creeps on you because sometimes this depression doesn't look the same way. And you
doesn't.
Just,
it
can
a
be a general malaise.
Yeah, yeah, it's different now because you're just like, oh, I'm going to do nothing because I have nothing to do. Oh, yeah. That's weird.
You like meaning? Meaning?
Yeah. No, it's not. Nothing
I guess
means.
I could.
There's no means.
I guess I can start timing how long these blunts I roll last and then start like a Grand Prix of blunts to see which
one
goes
the longest. It's sad because your psychologist will ask you how much you're smoking and he's going to look at you like he knows you're lying.
I said, look, Shumitra.
Situation.
Shout out to Dr. Shumitra. But also I said, why am I on trial, Shumitra? Please. I'm coping. And also, if you knew this one blunt, it had less than 1G and it went for 17 minutes. That has to be a record. And she's like, just let's start talking about your family.
Dr. Kevin had the audacity to be like, it doesn't sound like all the weed is helping. And I was like, well, not smoking weed isn't helping either. So I don't know.
Yeah.
So, sir.
Things are so bad for me. My gynecologist prescribed me Zoloft. That's how bad things got, y'all. Where are you at? Gynecologist was like, damn, bitch, your booze is so
okay,
sad.
Hold on.
This is so sad.
You know what? Let me give me that other notepad real quick. and then, Joelle, you were, I mean, look, we keep in touch because we work together, but I know you and Daniel were on Family Feud Donald and Zach for Fake Doctors, Real Friends versus who are you going up against on Family Feud?
We went against Neil Flynn's improv troupe.
Neil Flynn
plays the janitor on Scrubs.
Right.
And then he's also the dad on, I think, In the Middle, right?
Yeah. Right. And so he's got Koechner and like Horatio Sands were like some of them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a
broken family.
Was it fun? Did it feel did it get competitive? Did you perform well?
Yeah, so it was wild. It was wild. We I'm NDA'd out the ass, so I can't talk about performance, but when they were like, we're doing Family Feud, I was like, oh fuck, I don't know. I don't wanna do it. I'm not into it. I don't do the game shows. And they were like, no, Joel, you got to, please. And then of course, Daniel, light of my life, was like, this is a dream. And I was on the road DJing. This is what we watched in the trailer. This is it. Family Feud. And I was like, I'm not going to be the human that lets Daniel down. Okay. Could not be me. And so let's just do it. So the whole day I'm just like, I have to be up early as hell to be at the studio all the way on the other side of town. They did send a car, which was, I thought was very nice. Oh. And I was like, thank you. I don't have to drive. I love that. So we get there. They're like, this is your trailer. I was like, a trailer for a game show. What kind of next level stuff are we dealing with?
Mm-hmm.
When I saw Daniel had a whole new outfit, his lady helped him buy pants. They went pants shopping the day before. Oh. He was adorable. Listen, my whole heart lifted. I was like, okay, I'm just here for Daniel. I'm just going to do a day about Daniel and making sure Daniel feels good and has a great day on his favorite effing show. Competition got steep. It was like, it was real intense. Like, I couldn't let him down. I was worried. I forgot which way to walk at one point. It was one of those moments where, like, oh, no, that's really Steve Harvey. And his shoes are polished to the tens, like the A-plus uncle he is. And his mustache
is glorious. And his teeth
are
chiclets.
I don't want to say anything. Your eye line does meet his teeth often. Yeah. I will say that. It was wild. It was weird to be there. If you check out my Instagram, Donald... I was so excited at one point that he broke out in dance to That Girl Is Poison.
Oh,
for the whole audience, they loved it. It was entertaining as hell. Would do it again. And it was Celebrity Family Feud. So now my mom's excitedly telling all of her like cousins and stuff, like, I raised a celebrity. And I'm like,
my baby's a celebrity. 100%.
Sure, mommy. She's very proud of me. I feel like this is the least I've ever had to work for anything. And she's like, you're doing so well in life. I'm like, Celebrity Family Feud. Got mom's pride. I love it.
That's
I love that Steve Harvey legitimizes a lot of people to their parents.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. This also, I'm just, you know, through the transitive property, you are a celebrity. If you're on Celebrity Family Feud and you are on there with other celebrities, therefore I don't see the flaw in that logic at all.
Steve introduced us as Zach and Donald and friends, and I was like,
that's
the appropriate level of celebrity.
Yeah, you should have been like, oh, man, you look good without your wig on, man.
Damn. I'm not trying to roast Steve Harvey in his house, okay?
I mean,
listen, here's my favorite thing about being at... So, you know, they've got the hair and makeup people, all the producers and stuff. No one, not a single person didn't call him Mr. Harvey. It's not Steve.
Oh, it's Mr. Harvey.
It's Mr. Harvey to everyone. I was like, okay, I see the law has been laid down here. I see it.
Damn. Okay.
I'm not coming into his house disrespecting him. I feel like someone would beat me.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, that's why I'm not a celebrity and I'll never be on there. So I'll live my wild fantasies out through vicariously through you, where I've created an alternate version and then you snap out of it and you're like, yes, thank you. Good to be here.
I would just go on there and call him Dr. Teeth. Dr. Teeth. You're looking great today. That's a sharp looking suit.
Oh, man. What's your secret, man? What do you think is something that's underrated, Langston?
You know, I had a thing, but I think we're going to end up talking about it later. So I'm going to move that. And
okay.
I'll say that something I'm pretty excited about that not a lot of people talk about is spray on deodorant. I like it. I think it's pretty cool. And as somebody who suffers from absence, who gets the fucking boils under their arm from regular deodorant,
oh, shit.
Spray on deodorant, it doesn't clog your pores, you still smell nice, and you get to kill the environment at the same time. It's pretty cool.
With all those around, CFCs.
9 out of 10 for me.
They haven't figured out a way to make it environmentally friendly? If, are I'm all sure aerosols
there are
fucked
some
up?
That
there has
are,
to be now, right?
Yeah, there are some that are. I am not investing in those. Those probably cost tens to twenties of dollars. I'm going to go with the ones that are damn near free.
Or you get like
killing penguins.
When like at school, the janitor, like the custodial services would spray for bugs, like that pump bucket that you have to self pump. And then you can spray like I can just do it on my own. But
yeah, I could just stand next to Hank and get whatever he's got.
Huh. Is it like an Axe style container?
I've avoided Axe kind of more.
I mean, fair enough.
Yeah, good
mostly
for
because of the
self-respect.
The years and years of people making fun of Axe. If I'm being honest, I think Axe smells pretty good, and I'm not sure why everybody hated on it. But I will say that yes, it's like a degree, but you know, the just a regular spray can kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I felt like that was almost the standard in the late 80s, early 90s. Like visually, that was being reinforced. And my mind was like, oh, yeah, you spray your deodorant on.
I think they go out a lot faster. I think
you
run out of it a lot faster. And so the stick became a little more, reasonable as a purchase. Right. But
and I think as we then science revealed to us something called the ozone.
Yep. There you go.
That was another thing. People were like, okay, maybe there's another way to do that.
I'm here for the me zone, baby. I'm just trying to get nice and
I tried fresh. I tried with the crystals. They don't fucking work. I'm sorry. Crystals is bullshit. My stink is on another level.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Fair. I've never met a crystal that can fucking, you know, neutralize my shit.
No.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I had a friend who told me about the crystals, and I did not understand if the implication was that you're holding the crystals under your arm.
The whole
you know
time,
what I mean?
Right.
Like you just have to like tuck
keep it
them there,
right.
But it's more you just keep them in your pockets, and they're like stinky crystals, and they keep you from stinking. Is that the deal?
They clear it up.
Just to roll it on. Just wet the crystal and apply. You know what I mean?
Oh shit!
Yeah. This is look. This disgusting. Was some shit I remember seeing in my dad stunk, and he tried everything. And then at the time, this was like in the early 90s, we're like, yo, crystal, you know, he's an artist. So some other motherfuckers around him was like, have you fucked with crystals? And then them shits just, it made no sense. Like he would wet like a rock and like rub it on his arm. And he's still stunk. And I tried that shit later on in life because I wasn't trying to put all that like chemical shit on me. But it was either that or just fucking smell fucked up.
Yeah.
So
wild.
Yeah. What are you going to do? You know, and hey, Zeit Gang, if you know a crystal that's fucking powerful enough to do battle with me, then let me know.
Let me ask, right why now, why was your dad so stinky? Why did he stink so bad?
I don't, he's, you know, like, you know how people, I don't know, I'm like one of these people, if I don't wear deodorant immediately out of the shower, and I'm like, if I watch a sports game I'm invested in, my sweat, well, I smell awful. Like, I don't know what the fuck it is.
That's
it's
fair.
Something. Okay. I just whatever my body. That's what our bodies are doing. You know?
I'm a sweater. I get that.
I sweat.
Like if I start sweating, it's something bad's coming out. So I, you're getting no fight out of me.
Right. Exactly. All right.
I still am stuck on Axe body spray. I feel like maybe there is like maybe they did get it too rough back in the day. Maybe
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah, like Guy Fieri style almost. Like,
yeah.
And then he had kind of a redemption arc. Maybe that'll happen for Axe body spray.
Yeah, you want to believe that Axe has been giving like bottles to orphans this whole time. And then,
right.
You know, you find, oh, Axe body spray is the humanitarian's deal.
Yeah. Yeah, for every body spray purchased, you know, we send one to a body in need.
It's like the Tom's shoes of seventh grader deodorant.
Yeah, exactly.
Just making little African kids smell like Muscle Beach.
Yeah,
I love that.
All right, well, I guess. I mean, it smells like swag in here. What do you think is something that is underrated?
Underrated of erectile dysfunction. I think erectile dysfunction is underrated. Because if you think hard enough about all the negative things that have been precipitated by erections, it's it's almost obvious. Like the quest for power, wars, assaults on people's bodies. If your dick stops working, go teach a kid how to read. Go start a nonprofit. volunteer at a soup kitchen. Like, take that energy that you were wasting and put it towards good, okay?
Each one teach one. When the dick stops working.
If I just had a beautiful vision of doctors being like, you know what? We're not going to try to cure this anymore. No. We're going to drive men to be better human beings, yeah. Okay? This is a divine intervention. Your dick stops working, you go do good in the world, okay?
I have a
friend. It's a double-edged sword, though. You know, I feel like how many people with that toxic sense of masculinity then go on the other side, and you're like, what's wrong with that? What the fuck?
I have a friend who has said more than once, like, if my dick stops working, just kill me. I'm like, no, dude, stay alive and, like, plant a garden. Make an urban garden.
Also, yeah. Also, please make your existence more than if your blood flows to your penis.
Yeah.
That's not. I mean. Honestly, like, look, if that's his measure for, like, quality of life, what does he look like with people who achieve things? He's like, oh, fuck that. He's like, the dick work? Then I don't give a fuck about no LeBron James winning a fucking championship. Right. Like, what
the fuck? Got all those rings, but does his dick joke?
Yeah. He got the rings, but what about that thing? Is it working? Is he with the shits or no? Okay, sir, please. The toxic section is over there. Please let that go. Please let
As a non-dick haver, this is the greatest conversation ever. This is so funny.
It's just so stupid. I mean, yeah, like, you know.
I really wanted but to give y'all something that I truly think is underrated. Like, you know, I wanted to dig deep.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. We appreciate that. See, that's why the listeners come here. And we avoided talking about shit. Which is normally what will happen sometimes.
No, you bring us back there, though. It. Now all we're right. going there. We got to see well, maybe that shit right.
That might be a song we go out on later. You'll be very surprised. But yeah. Langston, let us know something about you in the form of your search history. What's something you've been searching?
This is exciting. I got jury duty. The notification, the official notification that I was on call for jury duty. So I've been Google searching how to get out of jury duty, like various methods for escaping jury duty. And I think I'm just going to show up and say that I'm extremely biased against the police and see how that
you know,
that plays in their little ears.
I've had to have an evolution around that because, unfortunately, if people like you or I don't do jury, the verdict could get fucked up by the kinds of people that do serve on juries. And like, there was a reckoning I had to have because I used to be the professional jury duty dodger.
Yeah,
I'd come in and I would be so contrarian, like when they're asking questions, that I would just frustrate whoever. Like, I didn't need an excuse. I'll be like, I'm just gonna intellectually frustrate the lawyer. So they're like, get the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. And then as I get older and realize the complexions of juries in this country and the verdicts that regularly come out, like, I'm like, fuck the thing. Like, it is my duty on some level to be there. But also sometimes I think about the case. One was like about some tax accountant had a thing with another person. I'm like, okay, I'm off.
Miles, I agree. It is your duty to be there. I, on the other hand, have no intention on upholding any of my civic responsibilities. I'm going to lie my way out of it and stay at home.
I'm out. Yeah. You should, if anything, look, a quick tip for people in LA. If you can get it at the Burbank court, half the time they'll let you go early.
Oh, shit.
The courtroom's small. Yeah. Just for the experts out there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I got jury duty at the beginning of quarantine, and then they had to cancel juries for a little while, so I got out of it.
Oh, that was tight. So that's the way to do it.
When would you have to go in, potentially?
I don't know.
Jamie's still waiting to go in. She's like, no.
It's been a year. No one's going
Hey, just bring Jamie with you and be like, you know, she's actually down to do it.
She's actually really cool and would love to do jury duty.
She pledged herself as tribute for this jury summons. But like, did they have
lunch?
Oh yeah. Did they like? What's the date? Because today. Jury trials completely resumed?
I don't know. They said it was today, and then they said I went online and they said you don't have to come in today, but you got to call tonight to find out if you go in tomorrow or do, you know, the whole, you get it.
Right.
But that said, you know, I'm just going to keep trying to draft dodge as much as possible. I'm going to blame my shin splints. I'm going to do whatever I can.
Exactly. Exactly. The whole, the vibe though, in that waiting room is so funny. because like it's the whole spectrum. We have people who like have time, you know what I mean? Who, right. And they've done it. They have crossword puzzles, books and shit, fucking thermos. Then you have like the young idiots that were like me, who like even before smartphones, I had like half of a script that I like panic just grabbed out of a pile of things to read. And I was like, fuck, well, what the fuck am I doing? And then there's always somebody stressed the fuck out on their phone who is like having to handle some monumental personal business, but they're stuck in this fucking room and they're trying to be like, look, I don't know if I can get that now. Ooh.
I feel like I'm missing an opportunity if I skip out on this, but I can't bring myself to, you know, it's comedy gold. It's got to be of just a bunch of miserable people trapped in a courtroom. That sounds wonderful, right. but I just can't bring myself to do it.
To try and find equity and be effective in a legal system that is completely flawed and upside down. I mean, the whole thing's a farce. But,
sure.
But so is this country, and we're still participating, right?
There we go.
What is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Well, also in the spirit of moving in, toilet bowl brushes.
Oh, man.
Looking up them toilet bowl brushes. That's been, so, you know, my partner
you take
and I
huge
been,
shits, right?
I take huge shits.
And, hey, just bruise like those, the bowl those, in there,
those,
honey.
Those event horizons where it like peers out over the water. It's just always one of those ones. It's just, it's
I'm
a mess.
Sorry to all the listeners who go, it's always become so shit-centric.
I know, sorry about that.
Yeah, it's a shitty podcast, guys. That's what I'm saying.
Second rate, more like a number two podcast. Yeah, anyway,
there we go.
So toilet bowl brushes, just been in the process of getting things for the house, we've had different responsibilities. And while Stephanie is covering the main things like the couch and the bed frame, she's like, why don't you look up a good toilet bowl brush for the bathroom? I'm like, babe, I got you on that one. No problem. Right. Let's get it. And so, yeah, I've been searching a lot of those and the market is ripe. There are so many toilet bowl brushes out there of all different designs and shapes now that I was, I'm thrilled by. There's a lot, and it's very fun to shop.
What's the new technology? I mean, like,
I feel like
shit,
they need a new technology. It's pretty gross that it is, toilet bowl brushes exist, and we just leave them there. And
no, you gotta lick them.
I'm trying to come up with like maybe like a squirt bottle or something that we could. We could use,
or
I don't know.
Yeah. Isn't like the other lazy versions, like you put the thing in your toilet tank, so then like it's always just kind of like there's like some kind of with that blue shit. Remember, like in the 90s,
right.
Shit, people
it
just
looks
like
a detergent
blue
pod.
Liquid.
Yeah, exactly.
or you stick one on the side of the bowl. I don't
Bingo.
Know.
Bingo. Like, yeah, exactly. Right.
I just throw a couple of those in there every time I go to the bathroom. Just drop a couple in. Keep them with me.
For the toilet.
You're going to need that.
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
Oh, my God.
Guys, we got it. We're off the air.
This is...
We're off the internet.
What's happening?
Who knew?
I remember, like, any time I would move into a new place back in the day, there was a Bed Bath & Beyond trip that always took place.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We handled the Bed Bath & Beyond trip, got our necessary, you know, shower curtain hangers and all that jive. But the other thing, the funny thing about the toilet bowl brush is that, babe, I found a couple really cool ones. There's one from CB2. There's this other one from this place. No. She said, no, we're not going to CB2 because I have her gift certificate there and we're only going to buy stuff from there when we have a bunch of things to buy. And I was like, okay. Okay, so I won't get that one.
Right. Idiot.
What about this one? So we also have a gift certificate from there, so we're not going to buy anything from there until we have a lot of stuff to buy.
Domestic bliss.
Wait, y'all got like moving in gift certificates?
Dude, like all of these. So I'm trying to remember which service it was. Oh, it was changing your address with the USPS.
Oh,
when you change your
address
with the USPS,
right.
They give you like a rack of coupons.
Okay, that's different than a gift certificate where I thought people were making it rain G cards on you. Okay.
It was definitely improper language there. But yeah, we've just been, you know, 15% here, 20% there on whole order. I mean, like,
Makes you wonder.
Yeah.
What are they charging normally? What's that really? What's the cost really to them?
Exactly. Costing them literally nothing, but it's saving us pennies on the dollar.
Well, you know, let us know which brush you end up with.
Oh, I will be updating.
What does it matter? Does that is conical? I have one that's slightly conical. That way you could really hit the underneath rim, sub rim, as I call it.
I want the good points, but I also want the one that has like the cap attached to the stick. so that when you put it back in like the tube, it stays capped.
Yeah, I have one that opens covered. Like that, and then
like
when
you push it down it,
mm-hmm. like Venus yeah. flytrap.
Also very nice. I've been looking yeah. for those, but they all have a kind of those ones all have like a very like future kind of aesthetic where I want mm-hmm. something a little bit more, a little yeah. bit more.
You've always said that you like things like cottage core.
Yeah. Very cottage core, you know, yeah. Spanish style home. We can't have this future tech toilet shit. So, yeah.
Which is why you're going with like a tree branch with a cotton blossom.
Thank
on
you.
End.
Precisely. You've nailed it. That was what we said.
You said your fashion icon is Blake Lively, right?
Yes.
Is
that, yeah. Nailed it. Thank you.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about news.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. James Cameron
oh.
is making another Titanic movie, kind of.
Okay.
I say kind of because it's a documentary. But I'm going to put a pin in that because we have to do a little bit of research here, or just a little bit of context. Shout out to JM, our writer, who was like, look at what's happening. There is a Chinese developer right now who is in the process of constructing a life-size, full-scale version of the Titanic. It is built in the countryside of China, about 1,000 miles from the sea. So it is very landlocked. why is it being built? Nobody knows. What the fuck is going on?
Why question joy in this way? Why?
I mean, who cares? This photo of seeing it being built, like, clearly in the middle of nowhere. And I do. You can tell what they're doing is they're building like a miniature dock. So it will sit in water, essentially. So it'll look like it's in water.
It's a big Titanic puddle.
Oh. Yeah. It's a
little bathtub.
Little foot bath for the Titanic.
Wow.
The shit looks massive. So, yes, they are building, in fact, a full scale replica. The way it's all. So there's an infomercial, apparently, that the developer of the this construction site screens for visitors when they go visit. And the infomercial that plays doesn't answer any of those questions. It's just sort of like, this is a replica, full scale, coming soon. No why, who, where, what, huh? And it turns out this is actually being built by a very wealthy businessman, by the name of last name Su, who is the president of Seven Star Energy Investment Group. He's just gigantic Titanic fan.
Okay,
and
so
this is a passion
like
project.
This is like a cool. If there, I reject people this wealthy, except for this person specifically. This is a fun way to use fabulous wealth. This is and also there's been other attempts to do this, like over the as a longtime Titanic head, there have been so many attempts to like get a to create a Titanic cruise ship and then take the same ride as the Titanic and shit like that for years. I'm just so happy it's actually happening. James Cameron didn't even get to build a full size Titanic. He only had to build half.
He's pissed.
You think he's jealous? Yeah.
He's so jealous.
A little bit of lore.
He seems like a bitter man.
My mom was in Mexico when they shot the sinking scene and got to witness it. Yeah. Or like when they had the half version coming out of the water. And I remember she was like, I remember as a kid, I was like, why are you going to Mexico like for a work trip? I'm like, I don't want to be here with Dad. And she's like, it's Titanic. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. And it always confused me, like why it wasn't shot in the sea in Mexico. And I had no idea about production then. But anyway, little bit
That's
of fact.
So
you should have her on your show.
Cool. What a legacy.
What it was like to be there in the cold. So back to this new thing. There's a new Titanic movie with James Cameron at the helm, or rather, he's producing it, but it's a documentary about the six Chinese survivors of the Titanic sinking.
Cool.
Who have gone ignored by history. The movie's called The Six, and it's just about just all the Chinese aspects of this story that have been completely erased or not told outside of China, perhaps. So it's going to be coming out like pretty soon, actually, this April on the 109th anniversary of the Titanic.
Wow.
Damn, that's wild to think. My grandma would have been 109. She was born 2 days after the Titanic sank. She lived to 102, though. She was doing all right. Shout out Michiko. but, you know, I think one of the reasons that we didn't get the, you know, full story about these six Chinese survivors is, you guessed it, racism. The men were in steerage, where their survival rate was only about 20%. And once they arrived in the U.S., they were detained and deported due to the Chinese Exclusion Act.
Oh, my God.
These motherfuckers survived the sinking of off the Titanic being pulled out the water. They got to the U.S.
boat?
And they say, yo, y'all are out of here. No, we're not doing this.
Holy shit.
The other thing that JM notes is that other passengers were given medical treatment and they were denied medical treatment. It was like an immediate, nope. You already know. You can't be here. Can't be here. Here's your ticket. Goodbye. So, yes, this is like a very American telling of this story. But another really interesting bit was that James Cameron originally
had a scene or a shot where a Chinese man was rescued from a wooden plank, but they cut it from the theatrical version.
Are they going to release it in the new movie?
I know. Like, shouldn't that be like the new Snyder cut? It's just like, put back the little weird bit of Asian representation there was in this
film. In a 4-hour movie. Wow. Yeah. This is, I had no idea this was going to happen. This is so fucking cool.
Yeah. Another mind-blowing thing. James Cameron used the story of one of the passengers, Fang Lang, who survived on a floating door as, you guessed it, inspiration for Jack and Rose's final scene. So you're taking from them and you still, we didn't know this, James.
James needs to make this right. I'm glad he needs to make this right.
Yeah.
This is so, oh my God. I can't put into words how excited I am to watch this. I hope it's like, it will be widely available.
Reshoot the film, but splice in these. Like, this is a much more interesting story than the made up rich white lady who threw her ocean at her necklace in the sea. But hey, 96, 97. This is where they're at. But yeah.
And then he released, James Cameron did another documentary about Titanic that I called Ghosts of the Abyss. Did you see that?
Oh, that was like the one that went back down into the sea, right?
Like, yeah.
Was that the submersible one?
He's just really in love with Titanic, the ship, and he's got so much money. But this is like a story I've never heard about before. I'm so happy this is like going to be released.
Equal parts interesting and horrifying. So you get your good and your bad. But yeah, to know that that's off based off of this other person's like true life is really like mind blowing.
Yeah.
Jamie, as the resident Titanic head, I don't know if you'll know the answer to this, but I am curious, like, was the Titanic such a badass ship that we would want to make so many replicas of it? Because it just seems like, why do we keep trying to replicate the Titanic if it?
Yeah.
Is this the dumbest question to ask?
I think it's I don't know. If speculating, I feel like it's a number of things. I feel like it's like at least for us right now, it's just enough in the distant past where it feels like I don't know. Like, it does that make, am I making sense here? Like, it was just long enough ago that people aren't like, this is ghoulish,
distasteful, right?
Yeah, like, so it's been, you know, whatever, almost 110 years. I feel like the way that the movie presented it was so romantic. And also the, like, because most of the Titanic media, even like before the James Cameron movie, were all either it's like you're into it because of like the whole, like the ship angle and like the ego angle and the, and that side of it, or it's like you saw, like, there was like A Night to Remember in the 50s and then the James Cameron movie, and just like it was all so like romantic,
glitzy and glamorous too.
Yeah And it always, and I feel like this is like part of what this documentary will hopefully remedy, but it was always focused on like the rich people, and the stories were always like this tragic, like, oh my God, this millionaire died, it's so sad. And it's so, I feel like the truly tragic parts of it are like, sound like the stories of like the six, and those were completely erased, and it was kind of made to be like almost this novelty thing.
Right.
I don't know.
Oof.
Wild.
Anyways, I have a Titanic hoodie coming in the mail right now. So this is thrilling. Caitlin and I are recording our annual Titanic episode next week.
Damn. There we go. Then you can talk about that, because I just only recently knew that the one black man that was on the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, look, like, we got so many stories we can tell after this.
So many stories.
But I think for me, the reason I want to see it is like, I kind of want to see it. Like, I just want to see it. I think that's my fascination. And I think for me, it's truly like the glitz of it, of being like, oh, look, a bunch of people would have not allowed me to eat in here in real life, but I thank you for having me. And I think it's just like all the white gloved shit, I think, is like what I think people just have this romanticized view of the 1910s, I guess.
Chandeliers on a boat? What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dancing?
Look, look at that. That's a chandelier. Yes, on a boat. We must see that.
People like the idea of Billy Zane on a boat. That's really what
right. It all boils down to.
Keeps it, yeah, keeps the memory going strong.
What is something from your search history that, you know, reveals a little bit about who you are?
Okay, so one thing from my Google search history is ILGWU 1982 strike, New York.
Okay.
Is this ringing any bells? Where are my strike nerds at? Labor history nerds.
Something, is this a garment workers union?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I was able to piece together GWU. Okay.
Yeah. So okay. The International Ladies Garment Workers Union strike of 1982. I was searching for it because I randomly like stumbled across it and learned that in 1982, nearly 20,000, almost all women, mostly all of Asian descent, marched from Chinatown down to Columbus Circle. And it was this huge labor moment where the Garment Workers Union was fed up and they basically demanded rights that had a major ripple effect into like just workers at large rights. And my mind was just blown because I had never heard of that before. And you would think that like, oh, 20,000 people taking to the streets, like maybe that would be something that's like in our history books. But no, alas. People of color organizing other people of color and like making change. Oh, shocker. We aren't taught about that in our textbooks. So I was doing some digging to find out more about that and the rad women who organized it.
Because I'm hearing, obviously, I'm like you. I'm like, wow, I've heard this. I've never heard of this. And also, it's no surprise because, yes, why would you tell little kids and put ideas in their head that they could organize themselves and demand better treatment? So how did you come across the story?
So I was doing some research for Women's History Month content. Because
oh, we love it.
You know, content, know, internet content.
Love a bit of custom content.
So, International Women's Day, if you didn't know, actually has its roots in the labor movement and old school socialism. Mm-hmm. So, Women's History Month, by extension, actually has like very labor socialist roots. So I was thinking like, oh, I can make some custom content around like women in the labor movement. And also, too, I feel like not to be too on the nose, but I think that labor history is very zeitgeisty right now the Mills and the Gen Zs are getting maybe just a touch fed up with capitalism. and all of a sudden I ran across this profile of Mei Chen, Connie Ling, and Alice Ip, who organized this. And I was like, God damn it, more stuff that I didn't know.
Yeah.
This is so cool.
It's like, it's so funny. At every turn, it's like, it's always, they don't want people to have the imagination for revolution at any point.
Yes. You know,
that's really, it's what it all boils down to. No, don't do that. Why don't you talk about cancel culture? No, don't hear about how thoroughly Amazon's getting owned with Piss Bottle Gate and the fake accounts, all this other nonsense.
The revolutions they teach are very selective, that reinforce a certain kind of idea. I'm looking up pictures of this strike, and it's so cool. And it's so, on top of how incredible it is to see just like women organizing and getting results, the outfits are great. It's very 80s. So, highly recommend.
Yeah. You gotta love some 1982 history. I mean, if only for the fashion.
Right.
If only for the pants,
Oh, I mean, okay, this all makes sense, too, that in, like, one of their first strikes was right after the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire. So, shout out to ILGWU. And we're learning something every day.
This is amazing. Thanks for doing us this.
Let's talk. Okay, we were talking about fucked up April Fool's jokes, pranks.
We should.
And, Illingsworth, you're in the Motor City, this is relevant because we're talking about cars.
Oh, yeah.
Volkswagen completely fucked up
their April Fool's Day. Because what started as, okay, essentially their whole thing was like their April Fool's prank was going to be, we're going to be called Volkswagen now, implying that they are going to now be doing more electric vehicles. But they fucked up because a press release got posted to their website and was later deleted on March 29th.
So that's not the 1st of April.
No. So people thought this was for real. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, this isn't early. And then, but some people were like, well, hold on. Is this early? Like, did you guys make a mistake or something like that? They fucking doubled down 3 days early and they doubled down. Then, so to when they said, was this an early joke? They said, no. Oh, fuck no. And to prove it, here is a legit press release that we're putting out right now that had quotes from the CEO. They even put a video on Twitter. So, and it was still March being like, oh, no, this is for real. Like, we're Volkswagen. It's sounding very Matt Gaetz-y at the moment. The head of communications for Volkswagen was straight up asked by reporters. They said, is it early? And even the head of communications said, no. The name change is real.
Were they like really invested in making sure that the joke landed? They were like, listen, if we do it on April 1st, no one's going to believe it. So I need people to believe that we would change our name to Volkswagen so that then tomorrow we'd be like, April Fools, everyone has a nice chuckle. It's been a long year. Man. Volkswagen's trying to help us. They just don't understand comedy. I'm going to go with that.
100%. They were not willing to bail on that joke. They were.
No.
So weird. Oh,
but the funny thing is, too, like in 2015, they fucked up when the EPA was like, your diesel cars have like cheat devices that are making them look like low emission vehicles. Like that was a huge scandal. And Volkswagen paid like almost $20 billion in settlement money because it was so egregious how they were deceiving people about how nature bound their cars were. So this is like, I guess it is kind of like them. So the other thing is because of this, right? The like doubling down saying, no, we're getting into electric vehicles. This shit had an effect on Wall Street.
Wow.
The stock rose by 5% because everyone was looking at this. They're saying, I mean, clearly the CEO is here saying they are committed to electronic vehicles. And like one of these like analysts in their like letter to shit, like, you know, traders and things said that the name change quote underscores Volkswagen's clear commitment to its EV brand. And so guess what? Now you're going to be fucked up with investors and the Securities Exchange Commission. The SEC is not going to be like, because you cannot make false statements that would affect your investors or the stock price. So it's like, what the fuck? It's all jokes.
They had a clear commitment to working on their tight five for the next open mic. That's what it was.
Right. it's true. Like, what did they really want to make sure that people believed it? Because either way, if they really believed it, then the stock price probably would have changed as well. Yeah. Just like what happened. So it's kind of odd to try and sort out like what exactly happened or didn't happen.
Volkswagen is not synonymous with humor. And like, I
yeah.
So weird. Yeah.
And then there's another thing our writer JM was talking about. You know, some racist ass ads that they had last year where like this white hand like flicked a black person like away from the car and then into a cafe that's the name was called Little Colonist.
What?
Yes. I don't know.
I don't remember these ads. Because
they vanished pretty quick.
Well, thank goodness. I prefer when a company at least has some common sense even after event as opposed to like, I guess what they did this time, which is double down. Volkswagen in its history has been known for trying to have like comedic ads. Like when the bug came out, everybody like it was poorly reviewed. And so they made a double page spread in a magazine and called it a lemon because it's sort of shaped like a lemon. Oh. Like, it's a lemon. And in the 60s, you're like, what? That's what? You called your car a lemon? Wild. Oh, no. So
you
funny.
Can't get a lemon.
And there's like. And they've done that. I remember in my youth, they had like weird kind of kooky ads. And so I get, but this is, it's a step too far.
They're synonymous with bad.
You're doing too much.
Yeah. They've lost, their way. You hate to see it when a comedian loses their way in such a big public way. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back to talk some slightly positive news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. What is something you think is overrated?
You know what? I also hate this segment of the show. So I decided to ask my group chat what they thought were some overrated and underrated. And things I got overrated was Hamilton, motherhood, and the keto diet.
Damn.
What a list.
Was that from one person or that was a collection was like from the triumvirate?
Four friends. My little Pizza Friday crew, I just asked them, and then that's what they responded with. So,
are these friends or comedians?
No, these are not comedians. That's why I asked them, because they're not comedians.
Oh,
these are
nice.
Real people.
Right. Real takes off the streets.
Yes, off the streets. And then it was funny because the Hamilton one is what got the group chat arguing because, you know, a couple of girls in the group chat are like, it's the greatest film ever made.
Yeah. And, you're like, it's revisionist history.
And I mean, I don't care. I mean, I remember being like, You know when something is so hyped up, you're like, okay, I should at least try to watch it. And so my friend had me watch it with her, and I was like, this is the most boring shit I've ever watched. I hate it. He's rapping. This is so dumb. And yeah, and historic. And it's also that thing of like, you don't even have to know history to like just follow the story and be like, this doesn't make sense. I don't like the way this is going. And this is all kind of weird. And
are you a big musical fan in general, though?
I mean, I don't hate musicals. I mean, I liked them as a kid, of course, you know, I liked them as a kid, and I don't hate them.
Oh, so they're child's play from your perspective.
I mean, I was a very mature child. Matt Gaetz would be into it, you know.
Jesus.
Sorry.
Problematic light.
Problematic. That's me. The woke bully. And then the underrated is the bidet and sleeping in a bed alone. Those are the only two I got for underrated.
True.
Woo. Sleeping in the bed alone, stretching out, sleeping at any corner, changing the sheets on your schedule.
Yes. Yep. I'm real tall, so corner to corner is how I sleep. But it's really
nice. Like diagonal?
I can't. I mean, if I share the bed with somebody, I have to be all fucking straight and uncomfortable because I'm so long. My feet hang off, you know?
I get nasty. Sometimes the pets fuck up my sleep style, but I don't have the heart to be like, get the fuck off. I'm like, like my foot's asleep and shit.
You gotta shape them to you.
I know.
Move that sucker over.
When I was a kid, you know, my childhood dog slept in my bed. So when she passed away, I realized it took me years to stop sleeping against the wall straight. Because she took up all the bed and I would just sleep against the wall to make room for her.
You were like a side sleeper with your back to the wall?
I think I was like facing the wall.
Holy. Oh, so you were quite literally making yourself as like thin and small as possible.
Which is crazy. And so after she died, I was like, oh yeah, I don't have to sleep like this anymore.
Wow.
This is exactly how a parent walks in on a child in a horror movie. To be like, why is she just facing the wall?
Yeah. Right.
And she's like, what's happening?
Because they're in the bed too. Honey, they.
And you're like, go.
You're like, all right, we're selling this fucking house. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, bed size is a good thing. And bidets also, man, you know, not just because Hello Tushy is the sponsor.
Is it a sponsor?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I've always, you know, being Japanese too, like in Japan, the toilet seats over there have bidets built in. So that would always be the thing. I'm like, oh yeah, right. We got this over here. And then when it sort of became more popular or people everyone, like the take of like the world was like, have you been to Japan?
Yeah.
Have you been on the toilet in Japan? Have you had an egg salad sandwich from Japan from like Anthony Bourdain? It's like those three things. Then the bidets became more popular. But yeah, this thing, woo, telling you, beautiful. Never felt cleaner in my life.
Shit.
Yeah.
Or no shit.
There you go. Exactly.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.